This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode of The Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, customizable designs, drag-and-drop tools, as well as 24/7 support. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes on a website that is scaled to look beautiful on any device. Start your free trial today. No credit card required. As a Football Ramble podcast listener, you'll receive 10% off your first purchase by using the offer code RAMBLE11.
Must feel like it's your birthday, like Christmas days come early. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus, and in the mix today we've got Pete.
Hello, Marcus.
Luke.
All right.
And Jim.
Hello.
Good to have you here, gang. Mm. Now then, on the weekend there were two dubious decisions at the end of matches played at Chelsea and Swansea in the Premier League. If you could change any contentious decision in football history, which one would you choose? Pete?
I would probably go for David Beckham's haircut. Back in the day when he had those curtains with like his kind of blonde tips to them.
Is this in the Sir Wrong era?
Well, yeah.
It was.
It was kind of like when he sort of breaking out. It was kind of when he scored that goal against Wimbledon. It was that kind of era. Mm.
Marcus can't complain because that was a contentious decision.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
No.
It caused a lot of controversy at the time.
It did, yeah. You know, mainly because I had that haircut before him.
Uh-huh.
At school, everybody said, "Oh, you've got David Beckham's haircut." I said, "No, I had it before him."
You've got lovely straight hair.
I've got the same hair as him, basically. Mm. So I sat with this bloody colander on my head. So, you know, in Hartlepool, getting any kind of bleach in your hair used to be a bit of a problem, you know. But, you know, I spent ages getting that haircut and, you know, he comes along and spoils it for me.
This is like listening to an outtake from Kez. It's so grim.
Did people throw stones at you in the street when you had that?
It's hard to be a little bit indie.
It wasn't as bad as when you had a skinhead in the Alice band.
No.
It was a rip-off Beckham.
Okay, well, good start. So David Beckham's hair. We'll start the show. Luke.
I had trouble thinking about this because I thought, all the ones I thought of, I thought, actually, I would want them changed. It's part of what I like about
Part people. Of the fabric.
Yeah, part of the rich tapestry. Life's rich pageant.
Mm-hmm.
So I eventually went for a special nod to the Harold Schumacher getting away with GBH on Battiston. That's exactly how it sounded.
That was a replay then.
In the 80s. But I actually think I will go for the hand of God in 1986.
Right. Hang on.
Maradona.
No, let him.
Because I think that should have been changed, because I think, actually, if the referee had just given that as a free kick, nothing more would have been said. It would be fine. And we wouldn't have to go through this rigmarole all the time now, every time England play Argentina in any sort of competitive game. And it wouldn't be used still as a reason to hate El Diego and overshadow his abilities and his achievements on the field of play.
We would also have had two World Cups.
We definitely would have, exactly. Absolutely. There's no question in my mind about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Maradona didn't do anything else in the game, so.
Yeah.
He's anonymous, haven't he?
Yeah, exactly.
In a tournament, really.
Yeah. I mean, Terry Butcher scored an own goal from memory, but that's why I'll go for that one.
Silly.
And I realise that I've ironically have contributed further to that debate, but it had to be mentioned.
Yeah, no, it's a good mention. And a big one. That's a big one. We've had two big ones
big
to
decision.
Start with.
It's just the way my trousers are hanging.
Jimmy.
It's 2002. It's the
I
World
wish it
Cup.
Was.
It's Brazil against Turkey.
Ah.
I don't know what he's going
for. You know what we're doing. Hakan Ünsal kicks a ball to Rivaldo so he can take a corner, right? But Rivaldo gets hit in the stomach with a ball and mistook that for being punched in the face.
He got
and
hit in the knees,
in the knee, I think you're right. Yeah, no. The sort of general midriff area, the middle of him. And then he went down clutching his face. We all know what happened. You know, Ünsal was sent off and it was all a big tragedy and all a bit embarrassing. And my testosterone shudders when I think of it. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is so embarrassing.
It should never have happened.
It's one of those things.
He should never have gotten away with it.
It's true, and it's one of those things that people who don't like football use as a stick to beat the sport with.
Absolutely.
And Rivaldo was a phenomenal player.
Who was and is better than that.
And often people who hadn't seen too much of his career, you see like little highlights packages and whatnot of Rivaldo. That is one of those clips that is often played when his name is mentioned.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure he regrets it.
Yeah. And it's such a shame because fake or whatever.
Divaldo, more like.
maybe that's why he's still playing. He's just endlessly trying to run away from what happened.
I mean, it's in the same way that people pillory Stephen Taylor, isn't it? Because he obviously had
same quality of decent, player.
Yeah, same class. Same, similar player. Similar pedigree.
Yeah.
Maybe he's still playing until he does get smashed in the face with the ball in that exact situation.
And he's hold
so
his knee.
But no, so he can feel like there's some sort of karmic justice has been done and he can get on with his life.
Just does it himself.
Your head can get rewired. So, you know, your pain's very much, arbitrary. Your brain could think that it comes from a different part of your body. I've got a weird thing on the side of my belly that occasionally, if I scratch it, I can feel it in my head.
Yeah, everyone has that. Everyone has that sort of thing going on with different parts of the body. That's why reflexology is a big thing, isn't it?
So it didn't hurt Rivaldo!
Are we being harsh on Rivaldo? That happened.
I, for one, think it's very, very much more likely that he's got some sort of, like, nerve-ending problem.
I would like to remove myself from the running for the point.
You already did with your answer.
No.
It's Team Rivaldo.
They've been wired wrong.
Qatar 2022.
That's your one, is it?
Yeah, more on that later. You'll be pleased to know.
More on that later.
Very good. The Frank Lampard goal, 2010.
Well, we'd had three World Cups.
We'd have never have known.
Change those two.
At halftime, we'd have never have known. Yeah. England versus Germany.
Now all those referees have got to wear the stupid watches.
Yeah.
Because of that. Decision.
I think we don't know what would have happened if that goal was counted by Lampard. I think
we would have.
All around this table, we can agree that we had him on the ropes. We had him on the ropes.
Because they were having a rest. Having bought themselves a luxury.
Luke's got to get the point. Come on, don't be silly. Don't be silly. But let's wipe the smile off his face by going to the Premier League. Southampton 4, Hull 1. The best team in England with the best English players.
Yeah. There isn't a more effective way to wipe the smile off my face.
Get him in there.
They are playing great football, dominating at this side. And that is an important result because, at home to Hull and so on and so forth. But actually, if you want to be considered one of the really, really taken seriously. Yeah, you can play well against the big sides, but actually brushing aside the small teams, you think, hang on a minute, they're not just raising their game for the big teams.
Yeah, they've got a lot to offer.
I think Hull have got a bit of quality as well. They're essentially a mid-table team, aren't they? They've
played, at the moment. Yeah,
so
it's tough to break down Hull as well. Like, it's 4-1's impressive.
It is because Southampton have essentially built their platform this season on not necessarily smashing their goals in, but just not conceding. I think they've got the best defence in the Premier League, haven't they?
Something like that. Yeah.
So a lot of their games have been sort of low-scoring affairs. But
look at the game they gave Spurs, Hull, and Southampton, as you say, just brushed them aside.
Yeah,
and it was brilliant.
He was so good.
And what a goal!
I think. I mean, it's difficult for me to make any sort of comment because people who listen to the show regularly know I support Portsmouth, but if I say that Lallana goal was a good goal, but the defending was poor.
Oh, come on!
I'm not having a go. But they didn't get anywhere near him, did they?
No, but it can be both.
Yeah, of course, absolutely, of course.
Well, the defending was poor on that Maradona goal.
also true. But I think that they under Pochettino, they're such a good team to watch. They press really high. I think they've lost one game this season. Which I think is just them and Everton are the only teams to have lost one game this season.
Mm. Their front four of Lambert, Lallana, Rodriguez and Ward-Prowse.
All English as well.
All English. But do you think maybe that's the thing to do? You give a couple of players some foreign-sounding names.
Yeah. Get them on that ferry.
Ronaldo. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah. It's worth a thought, mate. Yeah.
take them all to the depot.
The reason this thing is...
like Farnborough did, you know that?
Oh, yeah, of course. Sorry, Luke.
Yeah, I was going to say that the reason that it's a little bit Well, exciting if you're a Southampton fan, I suppose, is because all the other teams, it's not a
clear... And if you're a neutral, Luke, as well.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, true.
If you're anyone but you.
Yeah.
Or anyone who loves football.
Yeah, all right. Is that there's not really a, there's not really another team stepping up and really saying that we're going to be in this top four for definite. You know, we're going to... Because every other team around them, like the top six or seven sides, they've got flaws. They've got reasons why they may not achieve so highly. Mm-hmm. And that's rare. You hardly ever see that. I mean, you've got Manchester United have got a new manager. It's a transitional period for them. Mm-hmm. I know they're in a good run at the moment, but you understand the point. Arsenal, there's question marks over their sort of mental fortitude. Chelsea, I don't think Chelsea even know what their best team is yet. Mourinho doesn't seem to. Yeah, Man City can't win away. Spurs can't score. Everton at Everton. You know, so there's reasons all those teams around there could... Southampton look like the most dominant team at the moment.
Yeah. You've got obviously Everton or Everton. I like that.
Special mention for Liverpool as well, who are obviously doing well.
But they're very well.
They've got no experience of winning the league in living memory almost. So well, they haven't, have they?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Generational
but they're
memory,
almost
anyway.
Like a Mourinho side in that they're quite proud of their defence to a certain extent. Yeah. They don't let a lot of goals in.
But what a performance by Southampton anyway, though. It was really, really
indeed.
Good.
Jim, what's good about Pochettino is he's come in and he's got, what was before? I mean, I don't think it's unfair to say a fairly average Premier League side. He's got them playing some fabulous football in a very short space of time.
Well, he's got them incredibly well drilled, and yet at the same time they seem to be able to express themselves. He's used that defence as a really, really solid bedrock for them to just play. Like the freedom they had, they were so tidy and as I say, expressing themselves so much against Hull.
They look like one of the first teams around as well. They work so hard. But I mean, it's worth saying that the next three of the next four Premier League games. Mm-hmm. Arsenal away, Chelsea away, and City at home.
Mm. City at home should be fine.
To be
fair, though, I think before Pochettino, they were putting in performances under their last manager. You know, I think
there was an outcry when he joined.
It was everyone was really annoyed about it.
But I'm saying that they were.
You said they're kind of above their weight.
Well, I don't know, actually. I mean, you look at some of their players. I mean, Wanyama was a great signing.
Oswaldo as well.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could argue, but. I think the point I was saying before was that actually there were fears of relegation.
But Wanyama was at fault for the goal, wasn't he?
Yeah, badly as well. But didn't seem to make much effort to try and get back to clear it up.
We're already easily winning, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Save your energy.
It's what we used to do at Celtic.
Don't worry if anyone's got Boric in goal for their fantasy team.
No, I actually have as well.
I found
out that I'm mid-table on my fantasy league team, even though I've not touched it since the first week.
That's very good.
I'm above people who actually have been trying every week.
I am bollocks at fantasy football.
Same.
Yeah, I just give up after about a week.
Same. I get bored.
Boring. Yeah. But let's not get bored on the podcast.
Did you see what Steve Bruce said after the game?
Tell us, Jim.
That's as big a doing as we've had for a long, long time.
Oh, nice.
The term doing isn't used enough. It should be like, you know, as we've tried to make the hall a thing.
Yeah. Can I say friend of
or
the show, Steve Bruce?
Twat.
I just think he's quite a nice man.
Oh, shut up.
You don't like him. Should we move on to someone who's a bit more likeable? Big Sam and his West Ham team were away to Norwich City. And Norwich won 3-1. Much better from Norwich, actually. Ravel Morrison got a goal, but they came back very strongly and playing some great stuff.
It was a surprising result. I thought that I thought that West Ham would really fly out the blocks against Norwich because they've got no confidence. Well, they didn't have any confidence. They obviously had a heavy defeat against City. They had a couple of heavy defeats before that. And when they got their noses in front, I mean, you've got to give Norwich so much credit for coming back.
Absolutely.
Because their confidence must be at rock bottom after the run they've had. And they actually really took it to West Ham. I mean, was it Johnny Housley rattled the ball?
Oh, yeah! Oh, that was such a shame that never went in. That would have been goal of the month.
And I don't know what Yeskalainen was doing. West Ham let him back in, but Yeskalainen dropping that massive clanger.
Mm. I thought it looked like a foul on Yeskalainen in the build-up to the penalty.
That's interesting.
That was quite unlucky.
I thought it was a nailed-on pen, me. But have you ever seen someone hit the ball harder than Gary Hoover?
He loves it.
You know, Morrison for West Brom, the Scots
West
boys.
West Ham, you mean?
James Morrison.
James Morrison. Oh, right, sorry, West Brom. He spanked a penalty.
Yeah.
Hooper was absolutely leathered it.
I think it is a bit more simple than all of this. Let's be honest, how'd you distract Big Sam?
Yeah.
Delia.
Coleman's.
Yeah, exactly. Delia, straight away. She's put on a spread. Their game plan's just falling apart because Sam's not there to just do anything.
Yeah, I'll be in a minute. Starting out me. Seriously, starting out me. I'm just finishing up some a very important paperwork.
And, paperwork.
And I'll be there in a minute.
Yeah, if West Ham are just floating above the relegation zone this time, well, not this time, but like the start of 2014, would you give Big Sam any money?
What? I'll tell you, I've said this on the show before. I'll tell
that
you
win
point.
That they
Yeah, they're dying. It's just dying out on that. They've won two games all season.
Dining out on a lot, mate.
Yeah, you can't stop dining out.
But they do need recruitments up top.
Oh, big time.
But they don't seem to want to play any strikers anyway, even if they're
signed Carlton Cole on a free, mate. What more do you want? Marcus, are you calling Leroy Fur's goal a brush?
I am.
He's a beast, Fur.
It was a brush.
Good to see him. He brushed it in, did he not?
He's an excellent player.
It's apt that he is actually a beast when he's called Fur. That's what I said.
Did you see Match of the Day?
Yes.
There was a brilliant shot of what looked like the Norwich board, because Delia was there and a few other people that you regularly see there, and they looked like a Doctor Who convention. The amount of just scarfs. Knitwear on display was brilliant. A lot of colourful knitwear in the Norwich area.
Snodgrass put away a lovely free kick.
It will do that.
They score so many direct free kicks, Norwich, don't they? Snodgrass got a few last season.
Three from what they said on Match of the Day.
Right.
Cool.
Wowzers. And that's pretty much what happened in the Premier League on the weekend. Oh, a little joke there, listeners. Nonsense. We're going to go to Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea rescued a point against West Bromwich.
Stole a point.
Albion. Of course, it would have ended Mourinho's home record with Chelsea, which is pretty fabulous, one has to say.
Not difficult to see why he gets decisions like that.
Well, I did find it funny when they said, you know, are you relieved? You know, would it have upset you? And he said, no, when my home record comes to an end, I'll go out and celebrate in a nice restaurant.
Right. He also said, if anyone should be complaining about the referee, it's me or something. Chelsea had the poor.
He thought it was a penalty.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he did.
But the thing is, Mourinho believes that, and that's probably part of his strength, isn't it? In his mind, those two decisions were absolutely incorrect against him and correct for him.
I mean, it was a penalty. We saw the penalty being taken, so...
Yeah, it definitely existed.
Maybe that's what he does.
I think anyone's doubting that.
Yeah. Sam Aletu got the opener. Liam Ridgewell should have cleared.
Burgled it, didn't he? Incredible.
I thought to myself, Ridgewell, yeah, we're about to play Chelsea, and Sam Aletu, I know he's maybe not quite as good as he was a couple of years ago, but if you're a defender and
get
the ball
done.
Yeah, if the keeper spilled it out to you in the 6-yard box. Now I know we like to play our way out of trouble. That's what we're trying to do now in the modern game and all. But if you know, most of the players were in front of him. Eto came from behind. If the ball's dropped to you and it's a panicky situation in the 6-yard box and you can't see out Samuel Eto, just get rid.
Yeah, but that's the second time this week Eto's done that in the Champions League as well. Just absolutely robbed the goalkeeper.
Yeah, he did.
He hid from him.
It's
like he's just realised he could do that. He's like, I can't believe how easy this is. It's happening in every game. It's brilliant.
I wish I found this out when I was 18. I know what you mean. I mean, if there is a time and a place for that sort of stuff, and if that wanted to sound like a stereotypical sort of reductive English sort of football fan, you have really got to clear your line sometimes. There's no disgrace in that, you know?
Yeah. But maybe confidence precludes the doubt, so he's not in doubt, so he's not going to kick it out.
The key part of the phrase, if in doubt, kick it out.
But wasn't in doubt.
I'm not in doubt.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to clear it, he can make a long pass.
He could do,
that's the difference. That's
what Big Sam calls him.
That's the difference. Yeah, that's right.
Rick it.
Do you think West Brom didn't play Berahino just... You know, so Chelsea wouldn't try to sign him, just sort of hide him from their radar.
They could have gone 3-1 out, couldn't they, West Brom?
Brunt made a poor decision.
Well, I'd just like to say that the Shane Long equaliser was quite strange, because the ball was obviously dropped down a yard or two from the Chelsea goal line, and there was Terry and a couple of other Chelsea defenders just watched it, and Shane Long, none of them jumped for it. Mm. And Shane Long just sort of popped over the top and said, thanks very much. I couldn't believe that.
Cech was at fault for the Sessegnon goal as well.
Yeah,
it's very, very uncharacteristic. And unlike the Mourinho Chelsea we're used to, it's interesting how different this team.
But
they've
not played together before, and they have.
I just don't think Mourinho knows what his best team is.
Well, did you see him after the game?
So much.
Yeah, he was wearing a blazer and a T-shirt. He's rotating even his wardrobe. It's getting
so
a bit Howard Hughes.
We all have to rotate the wardrobe. You can't wear the same thing every day.
I know, but you know, some consistency.
Oh, I see what you mean. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, but you've got to either go in formal or you're not going formal.
Yeah, okay.
You know, if you're going to do a T-shirt and a blazer, you're going to look like Miami Vice. It's not. That doesn't instill confidence into your players.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, the problem Mourinho's got, I think, is I think Cech's been a little bit suspect positionally recently. Anyway, that's a sort of slightly separate point. But it doesn't seem to know what the better combination of forward players seems to be. And he's had this problem with Mata, where he sort of isolated him a bit. Mata didn't even come on, did he? He might have come on. I don't think he did. He's had that problem with Hazard and his staying away from training, where he had to drop him midweek for the Champions League. I know he scored a penalty and stuff, but it's not going as smoothly as you would have anticipated for Chelsea at the moment.
No.
And they've got a big opportunity if they can get their shit together, you know.
Do you think he's struggling that you've got an array of talent? You could argue more stars in there than what he had previously. Off the top of my head, maybe that's not correct, but he's just struggling to really make them his own and his team, because before, you know, they would have walked across a desert for him. You know, they talked so highly. And also, he would take the brunt of the media. When I think we mentioned last week that he's obviously not done that this time around. Matter is the big example there.
11 mistakes, he said last week.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you think that he's just struggling to kind of pull them all together? He likes a smaller squad. And perhaps as well, we know how Mourinho likes to play, but yet Abramovich has made it very clear that he wants to win in style. Is there a little bit of disharmony and conflict that they're struggling to resolve?
Also, I think an interesting point is that Chelsea now are a bigger club than when Mourinho first took over. When he took over, they'd never won the Premier League, and now he's coming back to a different animal. And maybe that's why he's trying to kind of struggling to mark on it in the same way. Oh, I mean, we're assuming he's trying to do it in the same way. Maybe he's changed as the manager and he's trying new things. But
he has changed since he was last at Chelsea, and Chelsea have changed since he was there as well. So it's not necessarily automatically going to go well for him the whole time. But the other thing is that he's used to being at clubs for a short amount of time, isn't he? And the reason he can get away with that is because he tends to deliver success pretty instantaneously. Yeah. So if he doesn't do that, it'd be interesting to see how it pans out.
Well, I think his model is the Bella Gutmann school of thought.
Sort of thing,
And he would turn up, rattle all the cages, ruffle all the feathers and all such expressions, and try to win the Champions League on his way out and go, you don't like me? Well, I've just given you that.
Yeah.
With Chelsea, there seems to be more of a longer goal. This is the club. He mentioned it. He'd love to do something like what Sir Alex Ferguson did at Manchester United.
And he's too volatile a character for that.
He is, but if there's one place perhaps he can do it, is Chelsea.
Yeah, okay.
He ain't going to get that opportunity, though, is
no,
he?
No, will anyone with Abramovich there?
Well, this is it. I mean,
but at the same time, by the way, it's a fair point. Will anyone with Abramovich is there? Possibly not. But if he doesn't win anything in three seasons, you can't. Abramovich isn't the sort of guy who's going to keep someone there, even if it is Mourinho, for as long as all that anyway.
I think that's very unlikely, though. Mourinho would go three seasons without winning anything. No.
Well, if Abramovich wants to play a more fluid attacking style, I mean, Chelsea had about five up front.
Yeah, they were pushing.
They were playing a sort of a 3-2-5.
Yeah.
I thought that was... I mean, obviously that's ridiculous, but Mourinho sometimes does that, doesn't he? And I thought the most you should play is four up front. Well, two boys way out wide. Play like 2-4-4. Two boys way out wide, almost in the flipping corner, behind the fullback.
But the reason they can do that, Marcus, in that situation, is because he knows... He'll put his house on that the West Brom aren't going to attack because they're already winning. They're not going to attack. They're going to just dig a trench. And so he's not got any real comeback on that, because if he's already 2-1 down, if they do break away and score third, it doesn't matter because they're going to lose anyway.
Yeah, but I think some of the points they were making on Match of the Day was the fact that they just had no midfield. So actually to try and craft their way through in numbers, it just wasn't happening. And Mourinho, he can play a little bit too narrow, we've seen in previous.
Do you think Mourinho
seasons.
Knew that Ramirez can just give himself penalties?
Well, I think he knows now.
Yeah. It was incredible, wasn't it?
It was really such a sickener. I mean, Steve Clarke against his old team, of course.
I can't remember what Steve Clarke said afterwards. He was annoyed, was he, presumably?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
He was sort of choking, so.
I think he was devastated. I mean, but I tell you what, for West Brom, if they're going away from the bridge, gutted that they've got a point.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it's good times.
Yeah, it's the circumstances of it, though, isn't it?
Of course, yeah. But I think, but West Brom have played some decent stuff this season, and Steve Clarke's been excellent for them.
It's a shame to see Ramirez do that. I really rate him as a player. He's such a hard working player.
Yeah.
He's really reliable as well. It's like, oh, come on.
And it is particularly gutting for West Brom having 1-2-1 at Old Trafford to win 2-1 at Stamford Bridge in the same season. I mean, my goodness. You know, go for the full collection, Pete. Unfortunate scenes for West Brom and the neutrals at the end of the game at Stamford Bridge, but Chelsea got a point. At Old Trafford, there was less drama. And there was the one winning goal from Robin van Persie. There tends to be just one winning goal. Yeah. I'd like to say now that was a shoulder. And not a header.
It was.
You watch it again.
He headed it into his shoulder, didn't he?
So there was an
assist from his
head.
He
set himself up.
Yeah.
he really, really enjoyed it.
Well. Yeah. But that's
But I think it's better for him to pretend
because
to not enjoy it.
Because he plays for Man United now.
Do you think, was it a bit of a plea from Wenger, maybe, or a last-ditch attempt for a slight mind game when he went, he'll always be an Arsenal guy?
Yeah.
Just sort of backfired.
I don't know. If you actually read that interview, that was taken hugely out of
context. Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't be bothered reading the interview. There you go. There's the I got my quote and I ran with it.
Yeah.
Hey, British media, mate.
Yeah.
It was a pretty boring game, wasn't it? It wasn't great, as a lot of those encounters have gone, and Arsenal really struggled to make any chances. Obviously, apparently, a lot of them were ill, but, you know.
I was really disappointed with Arsenal, really.
They were very blunt.
I thought Man United did really well in closing the space down and not giving them any
time. It was such
at all.
A scrappy game, wasn't it? In midfield, and that's a really Moisey performance.
It was a Moisey performance.
When Arsenal did have possession as well, their decision making was pretty poor.
The execution was also.
Yeah.
But it's interesting you say, Pete, I think you're right saying that Moyes set up his team. You've got Phil Jones in the centre of the park. It was just to really try and stifle that incredibly creative midfield
and
of Arsenal.
Because they had their illnesses, because you had people like, I don't know, Vermaelen coming in who hadn't played. Like, you had players that hadn't played for a little while. You were resorting to putting Bentner up front late on in the game, who was horrific in his touches.
Yeah, he will be.
Well, he's not a very good player. People will say, oh yeah, but when he plays and when he starts and when he gets a run of games, he'll score. Yeah, he doesn't score that many. And he doesn't score at the highest level either.
The thinks he's Great Dane.
I thought that Manchester United were content.
Yeah, it's what I thought.
To have Arsenal have the ball, and they knew they could stop them creating by really closing the space down. It helped a lot that Ozil had one of his poorer games.
He did.
Since he's arrived, and even like simple passes for him were going wrong. It was just one of those games.
Giroud was very isolated as well. He didn't get the support he needed.
I didn't think Vermaelen did too bad, by the way.
No, I thought Vermaelen was fine.
Yeah,
I was quite impressed with him having not played for so long, because he had a bit of a nightmare at Old Trafford last year.
Yeah, absolutely, and everyone was sort of expecting the same thing. But Chris Smalling did very well, and Phil Jones did very well as well.
Yes, Rooney was a standout player for United for me. He was everywhere.
He ran them ragged, didn't he?
I mean, you don't tend to like Phil Jones in the centre of the pitch, Luke.
No.
But when deployed like that, it's not the worst idea.
I think there's always been, for me anyway, I've had question marks over Smalling and Jones's quality. And then you want to see a player sort of nail down a role after a while. And Jones will possibly be a centre-back going forward, I don't know. But he was exiting that middle section of the park. But because I think, though, the reason he looked so good is because his job was completely reactive. He didn't really. He was clearly given a brief, wasn't he? And Arsenal have got a very strong in that part of the pitch. So Phil Jones was given this sort of remit of just marauding around, spoiling everything he could. He almost took Chesney's head off at one point with his
and
own
then,
head.
Then Flamini got his revenge.
No, exactly, yeah. And so it was... And of course, I'm not belittling that role. You need to have that role sometimes. Yeah. And at the end of the day, Manchester United have won the game. So it's great for them. Mm. It worked perfectly. Like, the set-piece goal, fine. It just depends whether Manchester United are used to playing that way. Mm. Not really, are they? Mm. You say a team comes to Old Trafford, you want to see Man United sort of swashbuckling their way to a win. Mm. Now, of course, they'll take any win they can get, because it's a transitional period for them. Mm-hmm. They're on a good run, and the win...
Only 5 points off the top now.
Of course. Well, there's only 6 points separating the top eight teams on there. So it's really close up there. So it's a massive win for them.
Then
really important.
From an Arsenal point of view, it wasn't as sort of demoralising a defeat as it could have been.
No.
Because obviously Arsenal were still top going into the international break. And I mean,
You've lost to Manchester United.
But they weren't taken apart.
No, I'm saying, exactly.
That's
last year was 8-2, wasn't it?
You've lost to Manchester...
That was 2 years ago.
You've lost to Manchester United.
And also, I think that was a dream.
You lost the game, still top, Jim.
Exactly. So I think there's still a confidence there. It's not. We spoke before about a lot of people expecting the wheels to come off during this tough run, and they've lost two of those tough games and won two of those tough games. So I think it's not been a disaster. I think the mental strength is still there. It's certainly growing.
Would it have been a much worse match if you'd faced Manchester United last season, for example? Because I've read that Man United have the worst passing accuracy of like a good 5 years or something like that. I may have just made that up in my head, but certainly.
Well, who's going to check?
who's going to check?
I was also thinking as a factor is that, like, the games they played midweek, I mean, Arsenal played against Dortmund, big game away from home, and Man United played in Sociedad at like a snail's pace. Yeah, it was a pretty dull game, and Man United made changes, whereas Arsenal didn't really make that many changes, so I think that told a little bit as well.
And that was a hell of a match for Arsenal as well. It was a really, really important
game. Yeah, that was they were excellent, but they had to really,
sure,
really grind.
Jim,
something that I noticed about Arsene Wenger and the figure he cut after the game. In previous years, we've seen Wenger, after these big games, be a bit downbeat and moan about the referee and be come across a little bit sulky. Mm. After the game, he was very much, the team needs to bounce back. I mean, shame, but we'll move on. And quite a different attitude. And I thought, actually, that would probably have an effect on the players, if indeed he takes that attitude. I mean, I don't know what goes on in the dressing room or on the training ground. Well, but yeah, that was very interesting.
In previous seasons, my reaction to a defeat at Old Trafford, even like some of the awful ones, would have just been like, ugh. But now, it's
which was his as
like,
well.
Yeah, indeed. But now it just sort of feels like, all right, well, let's just regroup and try and beat them at the Emirates.
Yeah. They're not a good team. Yeah. Not, it doesn't necessarily mean an awful lot they lost at Old Trafford.
That's right.
Because the, I'll tell you something, we mentioned it earlier. All these teams at the top are going to drop points. There's no standout.
Well, it actually went very well for Arsenal, given that most teams did as well. My main concern is if Olivier Giroud gets injured, because both Podolski and Walcott are out, and Nben's in there, isn't he, straight away. So,
yeah.
Hopefully those two players will be back by the end of the international break, but we need a... Yeah, that could be a disaster.
Could be a disaster. So, Manchester United won 1-0. Not the only United to win 1-0 on the weekend, eh, Petey? Spurs 0, Newcastle United 1, Loic Remy scored, and Tim Krul did the rest.
Yeah, his kicking wasn't very good though, was it?
He used to have work on that.
Shanked a lot of that into the crowd.
What is happening here? I mean, there was a much better performance when they went out in the League Cup, the Capital One Cup to Manchester City. Then they beat Chelsea.
Yeah,
I'd go away to Spurs and win.
I think Spurs is finishing was slightly suspect. There was a lot of drilled shots.
Krul was,
you know, fantastic.
Three of those saves from Krul were world class. Yeah. A lot of the others were right at him.
Soldado,
you'd expect him to make them. It was poor finishing from Spurs.
Soldado had a header he just should have buried.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the problem with Spurs at the moment is they're so ponderous. They're so they overplay it so much. And when they're at home, it gives the away team. Bear in mind, Newcastle have already scored by this point. It gives the away team so much time to sort of dig themselves in and set themselves up to not be broken down. And okay, you can say Spurs had a lot of shots and stuff, but getting the ball past the keeper and into the net is part of the breaking a team down process. You've still got to score.
That is effectively the breach.
The most important point. Yeah, that is the tipping point, isn't it?
I thought the first half of Newcastle was probably the best I've seen this season, but second half, they just let Spurs run on them, but luckily enough, Spurs aren't playing to anywhere near their capacity at all. They just don't seem like they fall to pieces in the box, I think.
So I mean, it's probably not the same now, but a week or so ago, it was Spurs' best ever start to a season, wasn't it? So they're still going very well.
They still can't score, can they?
That's the baffling thing. They're going to click at some point. Someone's going to get a hiding off.
I did expect Defoe to come on and score, because he does quite a lot too.
Yeah, that's the question.
That's what they'll be looking for.
But that's an excellent point about Defoe. Is they can't score. Soldado has put away a few penalties, whatever it is. Should Defoe be given a bit more of a run out in that team?
Perhaps.
He's
the
man who's
most threatening.
He knows how to score a goal.
And knows how to score a goal against Newcastle.
But I think they've got to stick with Soldado, really. It's almost like he's a big sign, and he is a good player. I just don't think they're playing to a way that suits him currently. I mean, if you look at all the goals he scored when he's back in Spain, they're almost like snapshot goals or off-the-shoulder goals or volleys from in the penalty area. And Spurs are so slow getting the ball. They've got fast players, but they've also got a real annoying amount of predictability to their play. So you'll say that Townsend, for example, every time he gets the ball, does the same thing. And then some people will say, oh yeah, but people double up on Townsend. Well, if that's the case, if he's being doubled up upon because people see him
should
as a threat,
leave space elsewhere.
The other players should be exploiting that space. Mm-hmm. They're expensive players. They should know how to score goals. And you cannot rely on a penalty here and a penalty there every game. They've scored 9 goals in 11 games. Nowhere near good enough.
I think on the Newcastle side, it was a very, very good team performance from Newcastle. I thought players like Guffram, players like bloody Choramiobi.
I thought Williamson was excellent again.
Well, Williamson, and he's keeping Coligini out of the team effectively. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think he's had a good season.
He has to a certain extent. I think it's just telling that, you know, Coligini can't get a game in the last couple of weeks. Mm.
So the hair quota is decreasing. Mm.
I don't think I necessarily agree that they need to play Soldado because he's been such a big signing. I think, you know, putting Defoe back in there maybe does send the message to him that he's got to work hard. Because if you sign big players like that and then sort of, you know, just let them do whatever they want, does it not send the message that we feel like we're lucky to have you almost? Is it?
Yeah, sort of. But it also, I think you've also got to look at the long game and think about the confidence of the player. I mean, he's adjusting to a different league, a different lifestyle. You know, I think it's the same with Lamela to a certain extent. Lamela plays in the Europa League, does well. He doesn't really get a look at in the side. Mm. Townsend's been below par for ages. So, you know, well, not for ages, but for a few games. With the Soldado thing, you've got to put confidence in your player. You've got to say to him, look, we paid this amount of money for you. We think you're a good player. That's why we bought you. You can't just bomb him out if he doesn't play well for a few games. You've got to give him time to find his feet. And maybe it's been that VS Spurs is playing the long game and he thinks that Soldado's really good in training. If he gets one or two, he'll fly. But because he doesn't seem to be showing a lack of confidence, but he's taking penalties well and he's working really hard. But I just don't think the way they play really suits how Soldado blocks to play the game, that's all.
Is there maybe an argument as well that because Spurs played on Thursday, there's, again, tiredness there?
Of course, yeah.
But he's got a big enough squad to rotate.
Yeah.
And that's why Defoe's playing in Europe, I suppose.
I couldn't believe that Herrera Gomez was still there. I thought he'd gone ages ago. He's been piping up, isn't he? Yeah.
He got a spot on the bench.
Yeah.
That's incredible, isn't
dreams.
It? Not good enough. They've used to Brazilian caps and all that
stuff. Yeah, he obviously needs a move.
It's a funny one. Yeah. But Newcastle beat only 2 points behind Manchester City now.
Yeah, it's Jack Alanwick. I feel sorry for our third keeper. He's not getting a look in.
Really?
He's not going to have a very good Christmas.
Well, are Sunderland going to have a good Christmas? They beat Man City 1-0. Phil Barnsley with a nice finish.
Wes Brown was magnificent. He really was.
34 years old now, Wes Brown.
Get him on the plane.
Was it 22 months out of injury? He's had such a long time out of injury to come back and perform like that.
On the plane?
Yeah, well, on the plane, back to the hospital. he was excellent. I tipped Sunderland to win that game all week, and you can check my Twitter feed if you don't believe me. Man City away from home, which is a completely different proposition.
It's the fourth loss of the season.
They're rubbish.
They've lost, was it? Away from home. Haven't they lost, didn't they lose four away games in total last season? And they've lost four already this season. And they've not even played that many good teams yet.
No.
Check Twitter.
Villa,
check
Cardiff,
Twitter.
And now Sunderland, I forget the other one. But Seb Larson should have been sent off, should he not?
Yeah, but the referee's position basically meant he got away with it because the referee was behind Larson, so Larson's body hid where the foot was.
Sure.
It was a horrendous tackle.
The tackle was ridiculous, and City would feel very aggrieved by that. But Man City, they're just not creating any real chances, are they?
Tell you what, you take Kompany and Nastasic out of that back four.
They're just like two different teams home and away. If you look at them at home, they are creating chances. Aguero and Negredo are incredible together. They're doing really, really well. But why have they got this sickness on the road?
3 points on the road, is it?
Is that all?
I think it's 3 or 6. I can't remember.
Yeah, they've not got many. Enough. They've lost a lot of games away. Mm. And yet, against Norwich at home, I know you say it's only Norwich, but I mean, you know.
Are they walking to the games?
Yeah.
That must be it.
They set off on the Saturday morning.
Yeah.
It is a strange one. And Pellegrini's got to sort that out pretty quickly. Because they're already, I mean, they're point behind Manchester United. And they'll only go further adrift if they keep losing games. That's how it works.
Mm.
I think they're beating Man City. They're beating West Ham away, haven't they?
One win in six.
They put that to bed.
Do you think, has he had more of an eye on the Champions League, perhaps? Because I'm sure that would have been in his remit.
Come on, it's not good enough, though, is it? The amount of money at their disposal, the amount of players on that team. Yeah, I think what it is some of those players. Now, like I say, you take Kompany, who's club captain, and a big player for them out. You take Nastasic, who's a good quality young defender out. That makes it a whole different back four. They've got their own goalkeeping problems. They're open to Limon's on a case since he came in. Didn't really show himself in a lot of glory with the Sunderland goal. He possibly could have saved it. They've got problems at the back, but you've got to look at people like... I've got a real beer in my bonnet about Yaya Toure, right? Because he gets all the credit, all the plaudits when he has a good game, and he's a colossus when he's on form.
Yeah.
But I've seen him in the flesh more than once just go completely missing. And the most notable one is in the FA Cup final last season. It's the Cup final, yeah? Man City haven't, no disrespect to City, but they've not showered themselves in trophies over the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. They're in a cup final against a team who have been relegated, Yaya Toure was anonymous in that game. Him and Nasri were a disgrace. They were just wandering around, not really getting involved in the game. And I think he switches off Toure. And I don't think he was great against Sunderland either. You've got to question, and I know Nasri's picked up a bit since the start of the season, but you've got to question a player like Yaya Toure, of his quality and of his wage packet and of his importance to that squad going away from home. And I'm sorry, but he just doesn't fancy it. He doesn't fancy it.
Well, they've
it's
had
not,
that.
It's not good enough.
They've had that aimed at them before, haven't they? That there's an element of the journeyman of some of their players.
The mercenary journeyman.
Yeah, do you think that's... not journeyman, mercenaries, perhaps, a better word. Jim, do you think that's fair?
Well, I think you make a very fair point, Luke. He does seem to disappear for games at a time. And Nasri is another great example of that. It took him a lot. I mean, when City signed him, he'd been one of the best players in the league the season before when he was at Arsenal. And he just immediately dropped off, almost like he'd earned his right to sort of coast a little bit. And I think they do have too many players like that. And also, for a player like Edin Dzeko, Can he be that motivated if he knows he's a bit part player when he's Edin Dzeko? He's a superb player. He'd start for most clubs.
Do you think?
I think it's the mercenaries and also the complacency.
Manchester United fans like to say that obviously their recent history is far more glorious than Manchester City's. That's obvious. But when a player goes to Manchester United, the history is there. They are told.
There's a responsibility when you play for a club like that.
You're joining us, mate. Do you know what I mean? We're happy to have you here, but this is where you're coming into. Look at the trophy room. Look at the history. Look at this, that, and the other.
You've arrived, Manchester, not we've arrived.
Yeah, right. Manchester City is very much, oh, you guys have made us great.
Mm.
And when the emphasis is like that, it can be a little bit dangerous.
I think that it's a case of when you, it's maybe different under Moyes, we'll wait and see, but it's an institution you sign for. When you go there, you know what's expected of you. You know, and I don't want to be too unfavourable to Man City because
they're a great club and they've got a great history as well.
And they dominated parts of the game against Sunderland, the possession and stuff like that. But the point was, I just thought, just as a casual observer watching the game, and I've seen City a few times in the flesh over the last couple of years, I saw players like Larson and players like Brown and players like Barsley who got his goal.
Mm.
Right footed playing at left back, you know. I saw them working their socks off, you know.
Mm.
Completely dominating areas of the field in terms of making it difficult for City and just working harder. And I don't see how it's acceptable for Manchester City to go, oh, we've got a bit of a shoddy away record. Well, it's not good enough.
No.
The players are getting paid an awful lot of money to perform. And Man City fans will be going to Sunderland to watch that game and expecting a win. And they didn't even really look that bothered to me.
I just think Manchester City, they are a little bit distracted by the fact that, you know, the Champions League is now going to BT Sport, you know.
Uh-huh,
so they're not playing for the public. They're not playing
for
their supporters. They're playing for Lovejoy.
They are.
So they've got to concentrate on that competition.
That's no good. That's not until 2015, Peter. They're not careful. They won't be in it by then.
Still horrible, that, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the BT Sport thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
I'm surprised it hasn't happened earlier, to be fair.
There was a great article, I think it was in the Telegraph, about this, and it just said, it's fitting, really, that Lovejoy was the one to break this to us. And, I think someone said about Jake Humphreys when he said, you know, it's so exciting, football fans will have all the Champions League games all in one place. And he was like, oh, yeah, because it's such a drag having to change the channel.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't turn up to the studio.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all to come in future seasons. We're talking about this one. So great win for Sunderland as well. Before we move on from the Premier League, Jonathan Walters made his 100th consecutive start in the league, the longest current run in the Premier League, according to Opta Joe, scored as well.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's particularly impressive when you realise for reasonable amounts of those starts, he's not been that good.
Oh, he's been a good player, I think, overall.
He works hard and stuff, but he went for that period of missing all sorts of penalties.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
No, but it's a good achievement, isn't it? For an outfield player,
it's incredible. It is a good achievement, yeah. Are we ready to move to the Championship anymore?
I've not even made one consecutive appearance in the Premier League. No, I can't
but you've not been given a chance.
True.
It's not your fault.
30 goals in 110...
Is that right?
Dart or something? That's not great as a striker.
He's not a striker, though. He's a midfielder.
Yeah.
Well, he is.
Forward. Is he?
Yes.
No, he's a forward.
He's Jonathan Walters. That's all he is. Yeah.
He's a forward, Marcus. I'm not having this midfield wank.
I think you were... I beg your pardon. I think you've been a bit hard on him.
That's what you said last time you were playing, wasn't it?
It's a corner. Anyway, let's go on to the Championship. There was a derby. Leicester City 0, Nottingham Forest 2.
So.
Pardon?
Tuzo.
The Nuge.
He couldn't be what his name, his new nickname that we've difference. Given him. Yeah, the
Wait,
difference.
He was a difference for Forest. Still living up to it.
He missed the... Talking of missing penalties.
Yeah, not good enough.
There you go.
Not good enough.
Not good enough for the Knight of the Realm. Which he definitely isn't.
Not yet.
Leicester, they dominate the early part. Simon Cox put Forest ahead. And Jamie Mackie made it 2 in the second half. And King Billy Davis, with a wonderful win
King
there.
King Billy Davis.
They call him King Billy in his house,
which is a castle, presumably.
It's a great win for Forest, Pete.
It is. Hooray for Forest. You're never going to go to the Premier League. never going
to
happen.
Had two really annoying defeats before that, and to win that derby is massive for them.
Especially at the weekend where nobody else won.
But you know what that derby was all about. You used to live in Leicester, didn't you?
I do, yeah. It's huge.
Huge.
Gigantic. It's huge for the nude.
It's hugent. Is what it is. Yeah, but it's a really good win. They were the only team in the top six to win Wood Forest. Burnley drew 1-1 with Bournemouth. Ranty with a peach.
Mm. On Reading, his debut,
yeah,
no less.
Reading drew 1-1 with QPR. Joe Barton's got a free kick there.
Joe Barton also did a very odd thing. I don't know if anyone saw
it. Stamped on...
What, it wasn't so much a stamp. It was Danny Guthrie, wasn't it? It was sort of just like laid out on the floor after something. And then Barton just dropped a bottle of water on his balls and then very gently stepped on them. And Guthrie didn't seem to react
at
all.
He gave him a little sort of jiggle. A little testicle jiggle, didn't he, with his foot?
Very serious.
I missed this.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, speaking of...
giving someone a testy jiggle?
I've been told about that.
People have... someone wanted another haircut. Guthrie's... He's gone for the full-on 99 taxi driver mohawk. Weird.
Yeah, it's bad.
Weird.
He looks like an ex-con.
Or a future
ironically,
con.
Given he was being assaulted by Joe Barton, who is an ex-con? let's talk about Ross McCormack. 5 shots, 4 goals.
Mm. For Leeds away to Charlton. The last one was a lovely free kick. A whole
performance.
Just one off a glut.
I did think when Brian McDermott was asked, I think he was asked in the post-match interview, is Ross McCormack good enough for a Premier League team? And Brian McDermott went, fuck off. Yeah, normally, what would a manager say?
You twat.
A manager would say, normally, yes, he is, and I'd like to see him achieve that with Leeds United. Yeah. Brian McDermott just went, yeah, of course he is. I was like, well, hang on a minute. January's not that far away.
And he's going, cheap. Yeah. He's looked at the camera.
Do you see what happened with Luciano Becchio?
Fire sale.
Do you remember when Chris Waddle played for Bradford City under Chris Kamara? Yes, younger listeners, that's a sentence that's true.
Yeah. He had his own video game, Chris Kamara.
Kamara was in charge of Bradford City and Waddle played for them. And like, every week, Kamara kept saying, my chairman's going to hate me for saying this, but Waddle should be playing a higher standard. And eventually he did.
And Chris Kamara lost his job.
Yeah, Kamara doesn't manage now, does he? Yeah.
Waddle doesn't play.
He doesn't manage to be professional.
When Portsmouth signed Prozanecki when they were in the second tier, someone was saying, someone around Portsmouth, might be Mandarich, the chairman at the time, was saying, for me, he should be in a world 11. But now
he's let himself down.
He's like 2 stone overweight. There's no way he's in the world 11. I love him, do you know what I mean? But he was massively over-egging the pudding. Mm. You know?
Dear, oh
the
dear.
Pudding that he let her egg.
Yeah, which was then fully consumed by him. In one sitting.
Oh, well, a good weekend in the Championship. And the FA Cup first round. Has been started because there's a lot of replays, as you'd expect. A few we're going to pick out here. Brentford 5, Staines 0. Local derby. Juve Rosler's men beat Marcus Gale's men.
Great stuff. First mention on the ramble, hopefully not the last, for Kadeem Harris, who scored the goal of the round.
Yeah.
Took the ball just inside just by the halfway line, took a few touches, rifled it in the top corner.
Lovely. Third goal, right?
But UT, it was a third, I think, yeah.
Mm. Lovely goal.
Non-league Macclesfield beat League One Swindon.
Is that the second time in a row they've knocked him out of the cup?
Is that right?
Fact fans. That's a massive win.
A win is a great result. 4-0.
Yeah.
In society, who are
hammering.
I think they did that last season. I may be mistaken. Who cares? Don't listen to this for fact.
No. Other non-league sides that are through round two, Salisbury, Dover, Kidderminster, Wedding United, Wrexham. It's weird to think Wrexham, non-league side. Tamworth and a handful of other teams have got replays.
You forget Mansfield hammered St Albans City, and Mansfield have only just climbed back up, haven't they?
Yeah. 8-1.
Yeah.
Mansfield have got this young Iranian English kid. Who's part of the Southampton youth setup? And he's saying, you can't always make a Gareth Bale. Some of them have to play for Mansfield.
That's it. Stourbridge.
Well, some of them are winning 8-1 peaks, so the joke's on you, pal.
Stourbridge beat Biggleswade Town.
Biggleswade Town is in Hertfordshire. Very nice part of the world.
4-1, both Southern League Premier League teams.
Super Pompey got knocked out by Stephen Ridgeway. Disappointing.
Biggleswade Town is a nice name. The English first round, FA Cup first round, doesn't throw up as many nice names as the Scottish Cup.
No,
first
Bucky
round.
Thistle.
Bucky Thistle.
Auchinlock Talbot is a good one.
There's some really good ones.
Devon Vale I like.
Uh-huh. From last year, Bonnie Rigrose.
Oh, come on.
Now, here's a fact for you. Which Hollywood actor once played for Bonnie Rigrose?
Sean Connery.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow. Sean Connery.
Yeah.
How's about that?
Brilliant.
Mm. We're going to go to the Gloucester Northern Senior League.
The big one.
Oh. Swordley AFC play by the Forest of Dean. Now, we reported on a similar story about this sort of thing a few years ago, and it's come up again. Their pitch was torn up by wild boars.
Nice feet, nice. What balls? What balls?
To be honest, the sound clips there from last time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, any old listeners to the show remember probably 2 or 3 years ago.
How many times have you hovered over that to delete it and gone, no, nope,
not yet. This may happen again.
Yeah. It'll come back.
Well, you're right, Pete, because there was a boar expert down by the pitch, and he said that they are creatures of habit because it's a cut field. They like it better so they can get the worms and grubs. They just like to get in there quickly and dig up what they're looking for.
Uwe Rosler.
Was not involved.
Yeah,
he was not at all.
He was in
the Shola Amiobi.
He was in the previous. What is going on? We interrupted someone else's radio show. But yeah, so wild boars are tearing up the pitch. It would cost in excess of £1,000.
Luke, maybe if you nip down there, you'll get a chance to play against loads of pigs like you
wanted
to.
That'd be brilliant.
That's the closest you'll get.
I'll get the feeling Marcus is about to launch an appeal to raise money to have them shot or something. I don't know.
What, the planes? Yeah.
No, this is one or the other.
There should be
an appeal for each. Yeah. And whoever wins gets to live.
This is the third time wild boars have had their wicked way with the club's pitch.
Wow.
So I can't honestly remember if this was the one.
Doing this at night, I'm not doing this when the game's happening.
It would be a bit of a bold thing to do.
It's annoying that we missed the second one, isn't it?
Yeah. We were right on there for the first one.
Or maybe it was the second one, Jim. Yeah, I don't know. I like the fact, though, that because sometimes when you watch wildlife programmes and you see the glorious nature of other countries and you think, oh, England, what have we got? English nature's back, baby.
I would love to see that. Just some wild boar just tearing up a football pitch.
Wild
boars.
It'd
be a magnificent spectacle in HD.
I think I've felt like tearing up a football pitch going to watch Pompey more than once.
Yeah, the wild boars live down in Pompey.
I can relate to it. Yeah.
Maybe that's what they should do if you're a really bad side and a really, really passing team's going to come. Yeah. You know, like when I don't know, when Arsenal go away to certain teams or whatever, they should get the wild boars in and go, hey, old Wenger, play on that.
I reckon like...
Wenger doesn't play, mate, just the manager.
Well,
Mother Nature's trying to get her own back because of that man who punched that horse at Newcastle. Oh, yeah.
The wild boars heard of this and thought, we're not having it.
That's war. That is war.
War that against is, that the is animal
our,
kingdom.
That is our Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Took them a long time to get organised, but by God, they have.
Well, it's a bit of unfair on Salt Lake FC, but, you know, someone had to take it.
Yeah, I'm indeed. Afraid.
No, but we wish them that. And we won't, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. What's happening?
I was just ending the end of the section. Further.
Are you trying to groom me for a radio DJ?
I was ending the section for you.
Oh, okay. Journeying into your mind further and further each week.
Don't get fresh with me.
Pete, do the Serie A jingle. Oh, you haven't got one. Unprofessional.
Yeah. No, I don't.
We're going to Serie A. Where Juventus beat...
Heavy hit after heavy hit.
Serie A. Have a bit of that.
Boom. Juventus beat Napoli 3-0 in the big one there. Second versus third. Llorente is in a fine vein.
Didn't take him long, did it?
No, only a minute or two. Pirlo scored a great free kick.
Yeah, with very little run-up as well.
You can't... How do you defend that? I mean, you've got the ball. It's up and over the ball. It's perfect.
Yeah. Don't give away stupid free kicks in that area when Pirlo's playing against him. Simple as that.
Honestly, it's not even an issue then.
It's absolutely glorious free kick. It's not around the wall. He's not swung it. It's up and over. Wonderful
the
technique.
The thing that makes Pirlo less cool than everyone says he is there's a little known fact that he actually does run around after the referee all game going, oh, come on, ref, give us a free kick. Come on.
It's really good. I'll show you.
Yeah. Did you see him do the interview in the Halloween mask the other week?
No.
Came out to do a regular interview. He was in a suit. He didn't make any comment, and he had a just full Halloween mask.
Oh, footballers!
I know.
Mm. Just an example of the laughs. Paul Pogba's goal, which was a beauty, probably the pick of the game, where he flicked it up and volleyed it. Got an issue with that. A lot of people have been piping up. I don't use the phrase "piping up" lightly.
You say it all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it doesn't mean I say it lightly. saying it was a hectic, oh, great, headers and volleys type goal. Incorrect. You cannot set yourself up for a volley in headers and volleys. You'd be straight in goal.
Yeah.
And rightly so.
That's right. That is spot on.
Well, he basically said that I actually miscontrolled it for the first touch. No shit.
Nice.
It was lucky you managed to get hold of it.
I'm not having that headers and volleys type goal. If you think that, you've not played the correct version of headers and volleys.
You've not played headers and volleys to the highest level.
No. No, exactly. Yeah. So what do you know about the game?
Yeah.
They're playing some lovely stuff.
Hey.
Roma drew 1-1 at home with Sassuolo.
And they're the team that got hammered.
7-0 away. At home to Inter.
Yeah.
Although they did get a point, I think, at Napoli. But they're the newly promoted side. But Roma drawing for the second time in a row. What are they playing at, Jim?
I've said it before.
Football, but just not as well.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Jim, you agree with this. I said it before last week. I said it this week. Garcia out. It's not good enough. If you're going to set yourself that higher standard and then fall below that standard, I'm talking about you, Mr. Wenger. Mm-hmm. Out.
Well, both of those managers are top of the leagues, top of their leagues. Mm.
Wenger out.
They're a point above Juventus now, so.
Yeah, I mean, they're still not lost and they've only conceded 3 goals all season. It's not bad.
But watch out, because Inter are coming back into it.
And so are those wild boars.
They're only 7 points off the top. They beat Livorno 2-0, but the big story was 40-year-old Javier Zanetti made his comeback.
The immortal Javier Zanetti.
7 months out. And
the
made
Bernard
a
Hopkins of football.
His arthritic knees just grinding its way.
He made a substitute appearance towards the end of the match. But I quite like what Mazzari said about Zanetti. He said, if the boys want to become greats, then they should have a look at the example set by Zanetti. What he did in only 10 minutes on the field to come back his age is such an incredible achievement. And he's bionic. I quite liked.
He is bionic. If he is bionic, then that's
not allowed.
Well,
there's the secret, yeah.
That's not allowed.
Well, isn't it?
It's probably not allowed. It may be allowed.
How bionic can you be?
Yeah. FIFA will probably dish out a €300 fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Do one of those banners saying no racism towards bionic people.
That is the Serie A roundup there, ladies and gentlemen. Before we go to Pete's game,
yes, if you're a new listener to the show, that is what constitutes a roundup. Normally,
that's a whole country, a whole major footballing nation. League.
Couple of minutes done,
tucked away,
sorted.
There were some other games as well, if you wondered.
Shut up, Jim. Yeah.
Let's give it a go. Footy Tube's good.
Name them, Jim. Name the other games.
Oh, come on.
shall we go to the FIFA house?
FIFA house.
We've not been invited again, but we're going to go.
It's not a bazaar. It's the FIFA house.
Sepp Blatter has said that the 2022 World Cup in Qatar will not be played in January or February because the Winter Olympics are taking place in that at that time, and it would be disrespectful to the Olympic family. Seemingly, it's okay to massively disrespect the footballing family.
He got his on the Olympics.
Isn't it his job to do that, though?
I love that. Oh, no, we can't have it. Whoa. Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
The head of the Premier League and all the other leagues in the world, everybody going,
no crossover.
not in Qatar.
Do you know why he said he was like, well, some of the media partners and some of the sponsors and all is similar, and it was just no.
There's a chance we could diversify our money pie here.
A money pie.
Do you get the hint? Yeah. End of point.
That's what they have in the FIFA canteen.
It's a money pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have we got chicken and mushroom? Nah. Just money again.
Pure gold. Molten gold.
I'll have a platinum pie.
Platinum pie.
Yes, I know I had one yesterday, but I like them.
Platinum pie.
No, I like that.
Pie, sorry. Yeah. Very good, Jim. He said, we need to see how the next World Cup can be played in November and December, and this won't be until the next World Cup is done. So after Brazil 2014, they'll see. But he's been asked about the possibility of another country co-hosting the World Cup with Qatar.
I think Qatar and Finland.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'd bloody love it to be in Finland.
Do you know what, right? He said the United Arab Emirates, they'd be keen. And that makes sense. A footballing hotbed of talent.
Use the same slaves.
It's a fair point. Football hotbed of talent, I didn't mean that. As in, there's a lot of football activity going on at the late level, that kind of stuff, and one thing or another. Or he said Iran.
Yeah.
Not a problem, really.
Iran.
No takers. The thing I don't like about the world of football is we're doing a show on football here now, and the next bit is going to be about an apparent slave problem.
It's good.
Yeah. I shouldn't have to comment on
that. It's good to remind people that this is a football joke.
Yeah, I know.
We should have a talk about Bangladesh having their visas taken off them, have their passports taken off them to make some stadiums for a football tournament, which is already ridiculous.
Well, Pete, you say that.
What does Franz Beckenbauer say about
that? Franz Beckenbauer saying, I have not seen a single slave in Qatar.
Oh, no, egg on your face, Pete Dalton. Oh, you feel like an idiot now.
Case closed, Pete.
Detective,
you know, those
Beckenbauer.
Investigative journalists who uncovered nonsense. Yeah. Because, and Franz says, I don't know where these reports come from. Well, I can send you a few links, yeah. You prick.
It's the slaves themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been to Qatar and have a completely different picture of it. Of course you do, yeah. You corporate slag.
You mean wine and dine. It's been hidden from you, Franz.
You...
They're not going to give you a slave to take home, are they? As part
hang on a minute. Because we are talking about the FIFA football family here.
If Franz Ferdinand...
Take me out.
Let me out.
If Franz Beckenbauer turns up at a stadium, like, they'll know he's coming. It'll be like Home Alone. They'll all have, like, cardboard cutouts of people. Yeah, we're all happy. We're not slaves. It's fine.
Franz Beckenbauer actually finished the point by saying, I think my opinion is more realistic. He actually said that.
I've been there.
Marcus, I think you can fill us in on what else Beckenbauer's been up to lately to show sort of how credible his opinion is.
Slaves don't exist. Aliens do. Who have come to take... If anybody's seen that thing on YouTube...
This is why Franz Beckenbauer used to be extraordinarily classy, talented, and very, very high-achieving football player and manager, and he's been really reduced to this. This is what football does to people.
I'd argue that this isn't football's fault, this is money's fault, and this is FIFA's fault.
Yeah. Like... Give me strength, Beckenbauer. You know, like, imagine if you're one of the workers in Qatar. You know, it's going on. Mm. Do you know what I mean? People are dying for goodness
Look
sake.
Look at the fucking body bags. Yeah. It's not like there isn't body bags.
And,
you know
and,
what I mean?
And he has a voice in football. He turned around and went, even if he didn't know, and he went, well, if that's happening and it's terrible, I think we need to make sure and blah, blah, blah. If he just turned around and goes, no, it's not happening. What a prick.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you know what I mean? Like, for fuck's sake. You know, it's absolute disgrace that it's shocking. Oh, no, that's not happening. Don't worry about it. Bollocks. Absolute bollocks.
Yeah, no, I agree. Something else is an absolute disgrace. Pete's game.
Very much an equivalent medieval dictatorship.
I agree. And those people who do your answers, they're not getting paid. So that is slave labour in a way.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm Paddy Power.
I get that, but why are you wearing nothing but a pair of green underpants with your own name on the waistband?
That's what I do. It gets people's attention.
This is a radio ad. I'm the only one who can see you.
Oh. Oh, well, this is awkward.
You could at least have waxed.
Sign up to Paddy Power today at paddypower.com/ramble and get a free £20 bet once you bet a tenner. And I might even keep my clothes on. But look how flattering it is when I jump up and down. Ole, 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 ole.
Please stop.
I don't mind using this guy's clues this week. This is from Tom
Franz Beckenbauer.
No. It's from a man called Tom, who says, hello, Pete. I hope that despite seeing that this email has come from a member of the Sports Interactive team, makers of Football Manager, obviously.
Oh, God, you're as bad as that.
Pathetic. Let it go.
You won't immediately delete it in a fit of anger over not getting the Football Manager 2014 voice over gig.
Well, if he had that for every voice over gig he didn't get, he'd have no time.
I'm actually very prolific, so... he's given me loads of options, so I'm going to go for
God, it's right being you, isn't it?
Telemadics.
Yeah.
This spinket all over.
Yeah, that's better. That's actually. I'd have gone for that one. Yeah.
Alan Nightmare.
That's my favourite.
Don't waste them.
That's my favourite.
I'm going to delete the email. I was born on the 30th of March, 1972, in Porto Alegre, Brazil.
72. Stop. Is it Rivaldo?
No. I spent the early part of my career in Portugal, making my debut for Academica in 1992, followed by a spell at Tessense?
Stop.
Before making the move to Benfica in 95.
I said stop. Mario Yardel.
No.
So yeah, another good shout.
You stopped with silly. I only played 8 times for Benfica before moving to England in 1997 to Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh.
I have to dress that one up as a sideways move, isn't it?
It's a curveball for sure, that.
I think I know who it is, and I can't remember his bloody name.
I was extremely popular with the Wednesday fans who nicknamed me The Wall.
Yeah, I can picture him. I can't remember his sodding name.
After 61 games for the Owls, I joined Chelsea for £2.7 million in 1999.
Yeah.
What?
It's gone. I think he's a centre-back.
Unable to dislodge the Central Defence Partnership of Frank the Beef and Matt Al-Dasahi. I moved to Sunderland 2000 for £4 million.
This is so frustrating.
I've not got it. I don't know what it is. It's a gap in my knowledge.
Shall I chuck you his initials?
Well, you know, he does give it
a okay. After an injury-hit spell at Sunderland in August 2003, I joined Bolton on a free transfer, helping the club reach the League Cup final, which they lost to Middlesbrough.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I had short spells in Wigan, Derby, before finishing my playing career in Japan in 2007. Since retiring in 2008, I've worked as Portuguese chief scout for Everton.
Oh, right. He had a bit of a military-style haircut, if I'm remembering.
Initials, E.T.?
Emerson Tome.
Emerson Tome.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. Should have known that. That's poor by me.
Thank you for that, Tom. That is superb. Mm. Though, to be fair, they do have a bank of research of this sort of thing over at Football Manager.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's good to see they're spending their time wisely.
Good one. Have we got any correspondence, Lukey?
We have, yeah. No emails, no?
No.
We on the hop here. I was expecting an email. I was sort of relaxed for the next couple of minutes. I'm going to step up. Mm. I feel like I'm on the bench when someone's got injured. They'll have to come on.
Like a Man City footballer. Yeah.
Is this you warming up?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, this is a warm-up. The question of the week this week was, to our lovely listenership, and you guys can obviously join in as well if you want. I'm sure you'll have some answers. What is the most embarrassing thing you've ever done at a football match? Now, I didn't specify between watching or playing, so people have interpreted it in different ways.
Okay. Mm.
Andy Peterson, this is a very good one to start. He says, I tried smashing a shot in from 3 feet when a tap-in would have sufficed. I hit the crossbar and the ball came back and broke my own nose.
Oh no.
It still hurts when I think about it. He doesn't say whether it actually went in after that. You think he would have done if it did, so I'm going to assume he didn't score, Andy.
Like, it hurts when he thinks about it rather than when he sneezes.
Shane Dobbing via the Twitter says, I think we all know that being asked to play a half for the opposite team because they only have 10 is an indirect way of the gaffer saying you're shite.
I'm always up for that, though. I'm always like, if I'm going to get my game, I'll play for it. I'll play with the kids at the corner.
Yeah, we've been told about that.
Come on, quickly.
At an Accrington Stanley game when I was 12, I had a broken arm with a cast on from wrist to shoulder. When my team scored, I jumped up to celebrate. I would have my trousers pulled down and my underwear and all. Of course, with having the broken arm, I couldn't reach down properly to pull them up again. Absolute nightmare scenario. That's from Nathan Rogers.
Oh, no.
Presumably you're at Accrington, so there weren't that many people there. Ooh, that's a dig.
Could he not use his other hand?
But you have to ask him. Nathan Rogers.
Maybe that one was paralysed with shame.
Dave McDonald says via the Facebook, at a Partick Thistle against Rangers game when I was 6, Rangers scored a screamer in the first half, a roar from the crowd followed by me screaming, yay, at the top of my voice. My dad hasn't looked me in the eye since. Oh, that's very good. let's go. Let's have a look what we got here. Steve McKenzie's a Newcastle theme one, Pete. He says, I was at Newcastle Wolves a few years ago, and Jonas Gutierrez lined one up from outside the box. Knowing his limited ability and poor goal scoring record, I shouted, don't shoot! As loud as I could. Of course, he smashed one in the top corner, and I've been mugged off by a bunch of strangers sat in front of me ever since, who now shout, don't shoot, every time you're in the
Well, who knows where that man is, Jonas Gutierrez?
We had so many good answers this week. I'll finish off with this one. It's a very strong one. James Ross through Facebook says, my dad once organised a small brass band, myself included, to play at our local third division German team near Munich. He says, this was inspired by the Dutch national team band in the early 90s before the English brass band poisoned the concept in the minds of all sane people. Anyway, teams lined up, whistle went, and we started boisterously playing the team tune to Here We Go. Little did we know, the whistle had actually been blown to start a minute's silence, a tribute to a South American stadium tragedy. Needless to say, it was incredibly embarrassing, though still not as offensive as the English band, in my opinion.
That is
It looks like a planned insult, doesn't it?
It does. Would you guys be interested in one more concerning Peter Shilton?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, this is from Paul Epton. He says, I got slapped by Peter Shilton.
Nice.
Shilton was the manager at Plymouth and visited Millmore for Pilgrims versus my beloved Rotherham United. He was walking down the touchline to his dugout, and I held my hand to shake his. Then at the last second, as you do when you're 10 years old, moved my hand out of the way and laughed in his face. Shilts reached across the barrier with his huge hand and slapped me across the chops.
Oh, goodness.
Not that hard, but all my mates laughed at me anyway.
Is your mum called Tina? Do you remember he was found in a car with a woman called Tina?
He didn't slap her, though.
Well, I'm not...
And so that is ultimate. You three may have laughed, but that is not funny.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was loving it more than sort of stunned silence. Like, what just happened?
I just remember listening to that podcast when I was walking down Sunset Boulevard. And it's, so if anything, I just put that, you know, image in my mind.
Oh, look at me. Bit of sunshine. Look at my voiceover work.
Listen to your idiot. Mm. I didn't go to America to do... I did, actually. I did a football manager 20 years ago.
Luke, any more?
One more there from Ross Ferguson. He said, I once went to an Italian friend's house for the Milan derby, having been told that her entire family were Milan fans. I turned up in my Milan shirt. Turns out she knew nothing about football, and they all supported Inter.
Wow.
I had to sit in the kitchen for the whole match with the women while the men watched the game. Inter won the match 1-0, and I was a laughing stock for the rest of the night. There you go. That's dangers of having an Italian girlfriend as well.
My goodness. Well, that is the end of the football ramble.
You guys not got any of your own? No, come on.
No.
Marcus, I've seen all three of you embarrass yourself on the football pitch before now.
On the pitch?
Both. Both.
A Dalot fan kicked me in the head once.
Oh, you told us that before. Yeah. That Hartlepool game.
Yeah, that was quite embarrassing. I think it didn't hurt.
You deserved it, didn't you?
No. Yeah,
fair enough.
You've just been a boisterous thug. And I was like 12.
Jim?
Ooh. Time I kicked Pete in the head at a game once.
The time we ran all the way around the New Camp.
That was glorious.
No, but we realised that we could have just, instead of going left and like going all the way around, we could have just gone right and nicked
him. Yeah, that was exhausting and humiliating, thinking about it.
If you start late to the New Camp, there's no lift. You've got to run all that upstairs. There's about 20 flights. So at one point, Jim was like, just leave me.
Just let me die.
And I flew.
You did bloody well, man. Right, that is the end of the football ramble this
finish
week.
Finish it off.
Pete, Absolute Radio.
Put a bullet in its head.
Yeah, Absolute Radio. They've got another match this weekend in the Barclays Premier League. It's going to be kicking off at 3:00. And,
you don't know what it is, do you?
Just look
excellent,
at
I love it when this happens.
Well, if you want to get in touch with the football ramble, then the email is show@thefootballramble.com.
Hull versus Palace.
Hull versus Palace.
The classico.
The Twitter is @footballramble. Of course, the website is thefootballramble.com. Pete, are you done with that one?
Absoluteradio.co.uk. If you want to listen to it, you can listen on 12:15 AM and all kinds of other ways. You can rub bits of foil on your fillings. That might work.
Yeah, it always does. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Internet.
And goodbye from me.
This episode of The Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, customizable designs, drag-and-drop tools, as well as 24/7 support. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes on a website that is scaled to look beautiful on any device. Start your free trial today, no credit card required. As a Football Ramble podcast listener, you'll receive 10% off your first purchase by using the offer code RAMBLE11.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.